I do pray it is well with your soul as we just sang, and to know what we have in Christ, it is surely well with our souls. It is good to be here. We are thankful that you are here, that you made the decision to be here. Not a better place in the world to be than right here together right now in God's presence. So we're very thankful that you are here. I actually want to begin with a prayer. You know, sometimes we're compelled to pray when certain things come up in our lives. And so I'd like to do that at this time. If you would, pray with me, please. Father, we come before you this evening with thankful hearts, thankful, Lord, for life. We're grateful for every day you've allowed us to have before this, any day that you allow us to have after this, but especially this day, Father. Thank you so much for life, for what you give us through Jesus Christ. And Father, sometimes our hearts are hurting. Sometimes we struggle. And we pray, Father, that we see you, that we see your goodness, we see your desire to have a relationship with us. Help us, Father, to have those spiritual eyes, to see that love and that comfort that you extend to us. Help us, Father, in these areas, and to always remember our purpose. We thank you for Jesus and his love. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. This evening's lesson is really a lesson that got the idea, for the most part, from our adult Bible class Sunday mornings. And I really appreciated the question and the comments that brought up this topic. And a particular young lady, I didn't ask for permission to say her name, but she gave me the illustration for this. And I do appreciate that. And so I'd like you to think about, maybe you've seen the television show Hoarders. I don't know if you've seen that before. I don't know if it's still on. And basically, if you haven't seen it, let me help you with the illustration here. You would have somebody that hoarded everything. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, antiques or valuable stuff. I'm talking about a pizza box from 5 years ago, right? And their house is just filled with basically junk and trash. They can't throw anything out, right? And they'll have hundreds of phone books and just trash all over their house. And usually, you know, there's issues with the landlord or the authorities, and they're saying, if you don't clean it up, we're kicking you out, right? And so you'd have experts come in, and you know, you'd have a therapist, whatnot, work with them. Why are you hoarding? You know, help them take care of that mental issue, whatever it is. And then you'd have a team of people come in, and they would clean out the house, right? And sometimes the houses were so filthy that they had to wear full hazmat suits. And many times you would see the individual, their house was so dirty that they had pets that died, and they didn't even know it, and couldn't even smell the rotting decay of the dead animals because their house was that dirty. And so, of course, you end up with a little bit of drama in there. Or they're trying to get rid of stuff, and that individual doesn't want to get rid of it, and they talk them into it, and then they clean the house, and they get a fresh start. So that's basically what this television show is all about. And so people come in and help them clean everything up, and they get a fresh start, and they promise not to hoard anymore. Now, several places in the Bible we're told to build a spiritual house. Whether it's Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount as he closes that sermon, and he says in chapter 7, verse 24, he who hears these words of mine and does them will be likened unto the wise man who built his house upon the rock. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 is another example. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we read, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 basically says this house, this tent, is temporary, but we have an eternal house with God in the heavens. Hebrews 3 and verse 4 says, all houses have a builder, but God is a builder of all things. Right, so we see references like that throughout Scripture. Talk about our spiritual house, if you will, and individually and also as a church. Right, Paul has a lot to say about that in 1 Corinthians 3 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 6 also. I want you to read with me here in our study text, Philippians the 3rd chapter. You know, we're thinking about our faith individually, collectively as a church, compared to a house built on God's foundation, with Christ being the cornerstone, by the way, Ephesians 2 and verse 20. But I want you to read with me Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8 here, beginning our main study text. And Paul writes, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Now, I want you to see something here in this text. Actually, four times in this section here, you see the word count. But right here, two times. I want you to think about this word because it's used in a very specific way, used two different ways in the original language. And I want you to see, number one here, the first time you see this word count, it's used in the passive voice. In other words, it's the idea of God doing something to Paul. I want you to think about when Paul obeyed the gospel, right? Ananias said, why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, right? Wash away your sins, call the name of the Lord. God did something to Paul. He cleaned his spiritual house. So it's something that God did to Paul. But then the second time this word is used, count, it's in the active voice, and this is something Paul did for himself and continually did for himself. It was an action that he took. Continuously. Right? So the first time, this thing that God did to Paul was in exchange for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He responded to what God wanted him to know. Second time, he uses the word count here. Right? This statement, Paul says that to say that he, Paul, counts his past. Really, it's just rubbish. Rubbish, it's trash, it's garbage. Right? Once again, in exchange for something, which was to gain Jesus Christ. And so Paul here was reflecting on that change of life, that change of direction, that change of mindset. Read with me verses 15 and 16. We're going to kind of hop around a little bit here in Philippians 3. He says, "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." I find that very interesting here. You see, Paul's basically saying that God had, in a sense, cleaned his filthy house, cleaned his spiritual house. Right? And then you get this here Paul saying what now he counted as being worthless. What God cleaned out of his spiritual house, if you will, if you back up to verse 4 in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless." Keep reading verse 7. "But what things were to gain me to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." In other words, these things of the world, they might have been important to the world. Right? He's kind of throwing out his resume there. These things of the world cleaned out. Why? Well, because really, if you think about it in the grand scheme of eternity, it's just garbage. It's trash. It's rubbish. Right? And it's meaningless in the big picture of belonging to Jesus Christ. So Paul counted them as rubbish to be thrown out to gain Jesus Christ. Right? It's like God cleaned out your filthy house for you. Right? Now, by continually working for God, maintaining a certain mindset, working with God on His terms by His pattern. Matter of fact, if you read verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. See, God's going to help you keep your spiritual house clean. Now He's telling us, you know, since God has moved out all of that toxic garbage, a.k.a. sin, now you need to fill it with good stuff. You need to fill it with godly furniture, if you will. Right? Well, because if you don't, Satan's going to move his toxic garbage right back in. Because you can have your spiritual house cleaned, and you go right back to a sinful lifestyle and fill it right back up. So God's saying, yes, clean that house out, but now let's put the good stuff in. Now, let's kind of stop here for a moment and step aside and see the bigger picture here, what is happening in Philippians. I'm actually going to read a passage out of 2 Peter, but I want you to think about Philippians. It's the book of joy. It's the book of cheerfulness, right? That's what the whole book's about. And in that, what he's trying to get us to see is how you can have real joy in this life. Right, it's about following examples. He gives four examples there of individuals who follow Christ, Epaphroditus, and so on. But he's saying real joy begins with that spiritual house cleaning, if you will, and then putting the good stuff in. Right, and he really gets into that in the fourth chapter, which we don't have time tonight to look at. That's how you can gain that strength from Christ in chapter 4 and verse 13. And so really, it begins with a good old-fashioned house cleaning and then keeping that house clean. When you do that, you're going to have this joy that he talks about so much in that book here. You know, some of the follow-up stories to hoarders, they would go back and visit these individuals that had their house cleaned and they had that intervention. Many of them went right back to that hoarding lifestyle, and sometimes even worse than what they were before. But of course, some of them kept their house clean. And it would go on and share their success story and how they were thankful for that help. But many went right back to hoarding rubbish once again. Be reminded of this passage here in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Right, some of them in those follow-up stories for hoarders, they were worse. But others, of course, with help from loved ones, they did keep their house clean. So what we need to think about now is, all right, I see that I need my spiritual house cleaned. I get that. And I want to keep it clean. How do I do that? Right? How do I, you know, what do I fill my spiritual house with now? Listen, God never tells us what to do without telling us how to do it. And so he's going to tell us how to do that here in Philippians 3 once again. Right? Because if we don't fill it with godly furniture, Satan's going to move it in. He's going to move in all that toxic garbage once again here. So look back here at Philippians chapter 3. Actually, let me do a side note real quick. You know, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19, and 20. There's one command there. Many times we get it wrong. We think the command is go. It's not. The imperative in the original language is make disciples. That's the command. And then he tells us how to carry out that command. Baptizing, right, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teaching. So baptizing and teaching is how we make disciples. Right? The baptizing, usually we do pretty good at. Right, we help someone get their spiritual house clean when they obey the gospel, but we need to follow up with teaching. Right, teaching's how we help them put the good stuff in, so that toxic garbage doesn't take up that empty space. I think that's important for us to think about here as we look at this. So back in Philippians, the third chapter, knowing Satan's going to try to fill your now clean spiritual house with rubbish. Now what do I do? Right? What do I do? So he says here in the text, he says, I want you to do four things. to fill your spiritual house with these four things. Read with me verses 9 through 11. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Right? Did you see the new furniture there? The new godly things that he wants us to place in our now clean house? Let's briefly look at these four things here real quick to fill our spiritual house with. Number one, he says, count on righteousness from God by faith, verse 9. Do everything you can to remain faithful. Do you see that? And in the righteousness we gain through Christ Jesus, not on our own, because we'll never be good enough. We'll never be good enough on our own. Let grace do its job. Never take that grace for granted, of course. And believe in the promises of God like Abraham. Right in Romans 4 and verse 20. The father of the righteous. It was credited to him because he believed in the promises of God. You know, believe in the promises of God. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. God promises you access to his righteousness through Jesus Christ. And we need to believe that, and we need to live that, you know, if we have faith, trust, and obedience. But number two here, he says in verse 10, and here's this one's interesting to me, the second thing to count, second thing to put in your spiritual house. He says, fill it with the power of the resurrection. Right, this is setting my mind on what Jesus did for me, defeating Satan, defeating death, so that I also can be resurrected from the dead spiritually. You know, think Romans 6, 3, and 4. Think Colossians 2, 12 through 15. Think 1 Corinthians 15, if you will. Jump over to 1 Corinthians 15 real quick. And I want you to think about this, if you don't know or be reminded, 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the resurrection. The first half, roughly, is about the resurrection of Jesus. The last half of that chapter, roughly, is about our resurrection if we get into his resurrection. Right? You can read just a handful of passages here. Verse 20 in 1 Corinthians 15. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Right, so it's all about, this whole chapter is about resurrection. His resurrection, our resurrection. And right in the middle of that, in verse 33, we note well, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. Why is that statement telling you to be careful who you hang around? Why is that in the middle of the resurrection chapter? Because it matters who you allow into your life. Right, it's going to affect your spiritual house and what's on the inside. Do not allow people in your life that don't believe in the resurrection, that will pull you away from the meaning and the power and the scope of the resurrection. Don't let them in your life. Right, Satan's going to use them as a tool to fill your spiritual house with garbage once again. Right, it'll absolutely destroy you spiritually. We must fill our house with good and godly things and people. The life, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It needs to be on our minds as much as possible because we remember our purpose. Right, we're setting our mind on things above, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. All right, number 3 here back in Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 10. What we need to fill our spiritual house with, the fellowship of his sufferings, or the sharing of his sufferings, your translation might read. And then to explain this further, Paul writes how we share in what Jesus suffered. Right? Are you putting that into your spiritual house? Right? He says here in the last part of verse 10, being conformed to his death. Now we might ask, well, what does that mean? Right? How do I do that? The best place I can think of is over in 1 Peter. Let me read this. We'll go to our fourth and final point here. 1 Peter is a book of hope for those struggling to cope. It's about a people of God going through very difficult times. Lots of struggle, and throughout this book, he keeps saying again and again, humble yourself. Accept the sufferings for what they are. They'll strengthen you. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 6 and 7, we read, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by many trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, be reminded of this. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Right? In other words, if Jesus had to suffer, when you're going through suffering, don't think it's something special. Right? If Jesus suffered, you're probably going to suffer in this life too. It's just part of the package deal of being in this world. It's just part of the package deal. And so we fill our house with the fellowship of his sufferings. And finally, number 4 here, godly furniture. We move into our now clean spiritual house. Verse 11, this is our goal. This is what we strive for. To fill our spiritual house, we're told here, attaining the resurrection from the dead. Basically, God cleaned your house by faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Right? Working with God by and through his grace. You've kept your spiritual house clean, so you're going to heaven. Now act like it. Right? And he goes on further there in verse 20, talk about where our citizenship is. It's in heaven. Now, our souls might be contained briefly, temporarily, in this body on this earth, but if I have my spiritual house cleaned and I'm allowing God to continuously clean that, I'm moving in the godly furniture, I need to live as if I know and believe that my citizenship is in heaven and I'm only temporarily here. Now, Paul is saying here, know these things. I want you to look at verses 12 through 15. Let's read this, make a couple thoughts here, and then the lesson is yours. We'll finish up. So read with me here carefully, beginning in verse 12, Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see that? What a wonderful statement there. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Then God gives us some more basics there on how to keep our spiritual house clean. We've already read 17 through 20, but be reminded of verse 21. Speaking of Christ, our Savior, from verse 20, who will transform our lowly body that he may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Jesus Christ is the King of the kingdom. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. Right? Have you allowed him to clean your house, your spiritual house? Have you allowed him to do that? That's where it all begins. That's where the peace of God and the God of peace he talks about in chapter 4 come from. Do you want the peace of God? Do you need the God of peace? Let him clean your spiritual house. And then for the remainder of your life or until Jesus returns, whatever happens first, now you're on a journey to mature. Allowing God to get in there and clean your house constantly. Right? And putting the good and godly stuff in your spiritual house. You're doing that because your citizenship is in heaven. Our conclusion when we put it all together You know, it's about learning how to keep our spiritual houses clean. It's all about a new life. It's all about seeing Jesus for who he is, right? He's our house cleaner. Right? Have you ever had someone drop by unexpectedly, and I'm notorious for that, right? All you people, when I show up to your house, you're like, oh, right? And I do that on purpose. I'm not there to see if your house is messy. But, you know, someone stops by, and you really didn't expect it, and the house is kind of messy, right? What do you say? Oh, sorry, you know, sorry about the mess, right? We all say that. You know, life just gets messy sometimes. That's just the way it is, right? You could be a great house cleaner, but it gets cluttery sometimes. Our house is clean until Kennedy comes over, right? We get her Saturday, and she's usually with us, you know, under 24 hours. She makes more of a mess in those 18 to 24 hours than we do, the three of us, the whole week. Right? She just leaves a trail of destruction. Right? So the house, your house gets messy. Well, your spiritual house gets messy sometimes, doesn't it? Right? Just life is messy. And the thing about it is that God wants us to understand is, he said, I'll clean your house for you. Just let me in. Open the door. Let me in. I'll help you clean it. We're all guilty of a messy house, right? Romans 3, verse 23, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Our house gets messy, but the key is letting them in to clean it, right? And putting that good and godly stuff in your house to help it remain clean, if that makes sense to you. This evening, the Lord's invitation is available for anyone here that needs to respond to the gospel. Right, if you're here and you need to put on Christ in baptism, right, God will clean your house. That's how it begins. Right, and in your Bible it tells you to begin anew, to start all over, to have your sins removed. You got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to repent of your sins. And it has nothing to do with perfection. It means that you're going to change the way that you think. You say, Lord, I know the only way to keep my house clean is you, to get it clean. Right? You're going to change the way you think, and you're going to be willing to confess Christ before man and then reenact his death, burial, resurrection, and water. That's called baptism. If you haven't done that, please consider doing so. If you've done that and along the way you've lost your way and you want to start all over, the Lord is waiting with open arms. We can show you the love of God. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. Right, we'll help you in that journey. If you have a spiritual need, please don't hesitate. This might be your last chance. Let someone know as we stand, as we sing.